feel like the Lord was inspiring me with this message before I was invited. This is a Christmas story message. I ask the Lord to bless us. I was thinking about, when we turn to St. Matthew, Jesus' birth, I put in Mary. We know the main birth of this Christmas story is mainly about the gospel of Christ. It's mainly about Jesus. God used Mary. We don't worship Mary, but we respect how God used her. But there's some really deep things in the story I thought it would be good for us to get a hold of about this situation. In St. Matthew, we want to start reading 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, angel, I believe it was Gabriel, that came to Mary, it also came to Elizabeth, and Gabriel named Jesus before he was born. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means salvation. This is, you know, we hear this story, especially probably around Christmas time, but it's the most wonderful story that ever happened to us. And for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he was born for, to die on the cross for us so we could be saved from our sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. So God condescended. Jesus was born to be in the flesh so he could understand us. Such a wonderful story. And not just a story, but a true story. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to go back a little bit. Mary was highly honored, yet she nearly lost her fiancé. If it hadn't been for God giving Joseph this dream, the thought that I want to try to get a hold of in some of this about Mary is, of course, when God tells us to do something, God always stands behind us. He didn't tell Mary to do this and then not stand by her. He knew that Joseph would start thinking about he should reject her. And even as far as they said it, under the law, Joseph could have commanded that her be stoned to death. So it wasn't a small thing when Mary said, be it unto your handmaiden, you know, and so many things in our life, it seems like we are highly honored in some ways, but yet then we suffer many things too at the same time. When we want to live for God and we sacrifice and we live for God, and sometimes there could be family members that reject us because of it. There's been stories about, I think there's a story about Mary, how when she found Christ, this is a different Mary, it's a book called Mary. She found Jesus and her Christ, and her parents, her father, turned her out of the home because she wasn't going to be in their religion. And she was walking down the road, and the Lord took care of her, but walking down the road. How sad that would be to be walking down the road, maybe your little suitcase or bag, because your family was going to reject you because you didn't come to their church. But there's been people that, in life, that's the way it is a lot. We're highly blessed, and we're highly honored, and it's a wonderful thing to be saved. But sometimes we do have our crosses that we have to bear. But it makes it so wonderful when God will step in and work things out for us. He never forsook Mary. You know, he went to Joseph in a dream. And he thought on these things while he was just thinking, what am I going to do? And he was really a good man because he could have been ready to, well, just stone her, you know. But he was a loving man. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, see, he was a good man and not willing to make her a public example. He thought he would put her away privately. He was trying to, isn't that just like us sometimes? We try to figure out what we're going to do when a problem comes and we're trying to figure it all out and we don't know what to do. I'm sure he was very, very upset and worried and didn't know what to do. And then he has this beautiful dream. While he thought on those things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he tells her, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So this angel talked to him through a dream at that moment. I wrote down here, Mary was submissive to God's will and plan, though it, in her mind, she could have been thinking, this is going to cost me dearly. She was willing to be God's servant. But God knows that she was a woman of rare strength. The woman truly knew she carried a baby from God, from heaven. I was thinking, many people could still believe back then, no, that's not really Jesus. That he didn't really come to, from God in her stomach, but... No, they not, might not believe, but it doesn't matter what they believe. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's that God, Jesus, was born in her from God. From God. And nobody could change Mary's mind. Just think, when Mary loved Jesus as her son, yet she knew he was a different child. He was born from God. All her life, she pondered these things in her heart. If you read about how he went to the temple and he was like 12 years old and, you know, she loved him. We got to remember that Mary loved him and Joseph like just a fleshly son too. You know what I mean? So they went after him. And, son, why did you do this? Why did you grieve your mother and father? You should be with us. And he submitted to them and went with them. And then he said, but I must be about my father's business. All this time, he was different. He was just so different. But yes, she loved him. And, you know, I have feelings for Mary, what she went through. And she loved him. And we want to read some more about this. Go on in St. Matthew. It says, now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, you know, Herod the king was asking the wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship. This was the three wise men. But when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He wanted to kill the king. Because he was thinking he's going to be a different kind of king, you know. I want to be the king. Am I going to get rid of this little baby because he can't be the king? I want to be. Isn't that way people's minds go sometimes? We can't see, understand how God is working. He didn't know how it's working. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. But he really didn't want to worship him. He wanted to have him killed. But he just told him that. So when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east came before them again, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Just imagine, this year I've been wanting a star. I actually got three stars, but I started out with one, but then I wanted more. But they're beautiful. I've always wanted a nice, pretty star for Christmas because it represents to me that Christ, you know. And this star was at Walmart, and it had this star, had a big star, middle, and a small star all together. And it just twinkles just a little bit. But it's got, it shines so bright and it's so beautiful. But I want to just, let's think about how excited the wise men were when they seen that star, and that star was moving and leading them to Christ. This was a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. And it says, and so then now what happens? And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I know there are some stories behind those spices and the gold. There's some stories behind that too. And being warned of God in a dream, then they had another dream from God, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We need God, saints. We can get a lot of good out of this. We need God to warn us and lead us and teach us the way we should go. God can protect us, and he can protect Jesus. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And then he had another dream. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. We have God on our side, saints. We have God on our side. It may not look like it sometimes, but if you really seek the Lord and you're living for him and you want to be humble and you want to be led of God, you have God on your side. And he will teach you, and he'll warn you, and he'll protect you. He's done it for us. I know he's done it for you. He will be our Father, our God, till the end, like I have a father. He will be our God till the very end of our lives. I'm sure of this. I just know he's going to help us. And it said, because he helped them, he's going to help us. And it said, it was there until the death of Herod. And he said, you go there and protect yourself. And it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. This was fulfilled, that which was spoken of Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So that was so sad, wasn't it? You can imagine to lose your children because of this king. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. He arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So that's how he ended up there. But, you know, I just thank the Lord. I'm going to go over to Luke now. The story behind Mary, I'd like to really, I've been studying some of this. How accurate this is, I'm putting this out, is what I read. You know, I study in commentaries and different things. And this is the information. I was trying to find out who Mary's parents were. What kind of parents would raise a girl like her? And I did get, St. Anne was her mother. They called her St. Anne, but Anne. And then the father was, the name was spoken something similar to Joseph. But they said he was a really, they were really a good woman of God and a good man of God. But they were, what I heard, if this is accurate, that they were childless. And that the father, Mary's father, fasted and prayed for 40 days and night. Until Mary was born from that fasting and praying. What I'm just trying to think that Mary was consecrated to the Lord ahead of this. You know, if she wasn't consecrated, then they said at 3 years old, they took her to the temple. So I don't know if they raised her the rest of the time in the temple. And she was taught of the scriptures. And what I'm trying to say, she was a well-rounded in the scriptures and God's plan and things. She just wasn't anybody. God chose Mary Because otherwise Mary would have been more afraid to listen to the angel. But she knew some things, even the prophecy of Christ. She knew about it. She'd been taught in the temple from a child. And so then they said that Mary, back then, that they were engaged when they were like 12 years old. And so she was either around 12 or 13 when the angels told her she was going to have a child. Very, very young. To us, it's just extremely young. But back then, that's the way it was. And then they were married. They were engaged for a while. Betrothed. It was almost like you were married to them. It was very serious. You couldn't get out of it. Just, you know, I'm changing my mind or whatever. You get engaged in the very serious. And you stay engaged. And then sometimes they would get married at 14 and 15. But they'd have an engagement there. But anyway, and they wanted the men to be married by 18. I mean, it was just the law back then. They were 18 to 20 or what. So we're kind of trying to figure out how old Joseph was. He could have been in the age between 18, 20. And then some suppose that he was a widower. But I don't think so. But I don't know. I don't know if it's all accurate. But anyway, this is what I've been studying. I want to study some more because it's very interesting. Because I was thinking about we as the saints, you know, I know, we don't worship Mary. We don't do that. But we respect the story about why God chose her. Why was she submissive to something that was so disgraceful back then? If they didn't believe her story, it was very, very disgraceful, more than it is today. It was something that they killed women over, you know, stoned them. Her life could have been in danger. She could have lost her fiancé. I mean, so many things, but yet she put all that out and said she saw an angel. And she submitted to God's will. And so I think that's a wonderful thing. Over here in St. Luke 1, I want to read a little bit about John the Baptist too, because he was the forerunner of Christ. And it says here, there appeared unto him an angel. He went into the temple. This was Zacharias. There appeared unto him an angel in the 11th verse of the first chapter of Luke, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So he named him too. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This preparation for the Lord's birth. And everybody was thinking how the Lord prepares our hearts for things. He prepared Mary. He didn't just choose any lady. He prepared Mary to know the scriptures, to be the child of this couple. He prepared her that she would understand and be willing to do that. He prepared John the Baptist to be the forerunner, to teach people that Jesus is coming, to prepare them. He works with people. He works with our hearts. If we'll listen to God's will, he'll prepare our hearts for good things. And he will lead us for good things. And it says here, "And to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." We need to prepare our hearts in prayer, that God will talk to us. And when we're in services, like we're having a meeting coming up, a large meeting, Lord, help us to get prepared for it. Well, how do we get prepared for? Reading the Bible, praying, keeping close to God. Even though we have this Christmas things going on, it's a lovely time to be with family and things like that. We don't want to forget the spiritual part of Christmas and the real reason for Christ, and you know, and keep that ever before. We enjoyed so much last night. They were so excited at church to go have Christmas carols, especially some of the younger ones, and even middle-aged ones were very excited. And I just felt, well, Lord, you can help me. I know it's a little cold, but I will just kind of got a hat and gloves on and everything. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to go join them. And it was quite a big group. We sang Christmas carols during in Guthrie, you know, the territorial Christmas. I thought, we need to put forth Christ. And so I will do my part. And so we did. And then Sister Ranelle made these beautiful postcards with, oh, come, oh, come. It was so pretty. And on the back was our meeting. And they passed them out to different ones. And I passed out a few. And then I sang. But different ones passed out quite a lot. And then after we left and the singing was over, we sang We Wish You a Merry Christmas. But during this time, there would be lots of people gathered to listen to us. And, of course, you know, they clap. But, you know, it's like not that we really want people to clap. But they don't understand. So that's their way of saying they're enjoying it, you know. So we want to put forth Christ. And some of them were videoing with their phones. We don't know how far this is going to reach, but we hope. We have took a challenge at home that was hoping 10 people would get saved, but even more than 10 people. So maybe some outsiders from that what happened last night, they'll come. And God blessed us. He blessed us. It just gave me such a sweet feeling of Christmas. I was so glad when I came here today and they were singing Christmas carols. I thought, oh, this is just what I want. This is just, this is so exciting about it. Just hark the herald angels sing. That has just been going over and over in my mind. And, you know, it just makes Christmas so real and so wonderful. And we love the candy and the food and all that, too. You know, there's a part for family and all. But the real, true meaning of Christmas, that's what's so wonderful, you know. And so Zachariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. There goes the logical mind again. We are thinkers, and we can think things that's not really, try to reason it all out, try to figure it all out. Sometimes God just wants us to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to go by faith. I'm not going to try to figure this all out. I'm going to just trust you. That's hard sometimes. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. That's why you need to believe me. I'm Gabriel. I'm talking to you. And I stand in the presence of God, and I've sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. You know, he didn't do right not to listen to Gabriel, because Gabriel, if Gabriel comes to you, if an angel came to us and told us, we need to believe, you know, we need to believe, because there's the angel of the Lord. I mean, what else do you want? What other sign do you want? Right? What's... So he said, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And we remember that angels have some power. You know, and you know what? You don't, you want to be good and listen. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus saith the Lord, dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Here it comes. The angel was sent again. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. You see how God was preparing everything, preparing. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. No, let's think about it. The angel appears and says, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You know, that's our flesh. We just can't help it, that part a little bit. We can't, because we're going to be troubled. You know, we're going to be troubled. and we're going to wonder, in her mind, what manner of salutation this is. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Nothing. It's not a small thing to believe this story. It's a great thing for us to believe, as believers, to believe this story, because it's a true story. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." You know, what is so sweet about Mary there? She believed the angel, and she was quick to say yes. Now, what if Mary would have said no? "No, I don't want to do this. I'll be disgraced. Joseph will leave me. My life will be ruined." She didn't look at it that way. She had been well trained in the scriptures. And she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. She went to go tell Elizabeth about this story. And what happened? It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And she was filled with the Holy Ghost. "And blessed is she that believed, for she there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the emanation of their imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. This 3 months, well, that would have made about 9 months ready for Brother, Brother John. Well, he was our brother. John the Baptist to be born. And she probably needed that encouragement, you know, that womanly encouragement. Because they were on the same thinking and the same page, so to speak, you know. And that's what we need in life. Sometimes we just need another saint to encourage us and be on, and share something special with them to strengthen us and strengthen our faith. And she stayed 3 months with her and got what she needed. And, you know, it's like nobody else would really probably, you know, go along with, except for Joseph, of course, but Elizabeth knew the whole story, and so she could just talk, and they could revel in it and talk about it. I don't know what all they talked about that 3 months, but they were just so happy and so rejoicing and praying and just, you know, "I'm going to be the mother of the Savior." You know, the mother of the Savior. And she just got all she needed. She needed that. And so, and she said, "Blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her by the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. So this baby, Jesus, was her son in the flesh, but he also was her Savior just like he is ours. So she thought of him differently. She thought of him differently, but she still loved him as her little boy. And she loved him all the way, and Mary stood by his side all the way, even to the cross. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but this story is so wonderful. I love it. I love it. I just love it. And you know, it says here, I wanted to read over here in the second chapter of Luke about the angels coming. And it says, it came to pass in the second chapter of Luke, those days they were sent out a decree from Caesar that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. You know, he was the lineage of David. Remember the story about Ruth and Boaz? They were in the same lineage that Christ came. It's just a wonderful, wonderful story. It's a true story. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And I'm telling you, we want to think about Joseph too. Joseph was a very good, godly, wonderful man. He was. God chose a couple, I believe, not just Mary, but Joseph and Mary were godly Christians, and they believed in God's word, and they believed, and he believed that this was the child of the Most High. And things were happening, and the wise men showed up and brought the gifts, and then the angels and the shepherds, and all this happened. And we don't want to forget about that Jesus was born in a stable, in a barn. He was the king. He could have been born in a palace. But why did he choose to be born so lowly, so humble? Something to think about. But where he was buried was with the rich man's grave that never been used. So to me, he kind of covered the poor and the rich. Covered all. They love him. He loves us all. And he loves the rich man. If they'll turn away from their sin and go to God, God will save them. So, you know, God just covered us all. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know what swaddling clothes? They're rags that they put together. He didn't have a real cushiony blanket like we have for our babies. Bless his heart. Jesus, this story is so wonderful that he loved us so much. God sent his son and do all this. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, God could allow to be room in the inn, but God allowed it to be this way. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Now, one thing I studied, was Jesus born on December 25th? According to the history, observe is what I meant. We observe that day, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the day that they set us up. What I had studied about, they actually did that to stop some pagan worship that was going on. They put it right in there that we're going to celebrate Christ's birth to stop some paganism that was going on. But actually, in the shepherds, they think that because it was in the summer, like May, between May and September, somewhere in there, we don't really know. And we could study it out. Some say it was around July, I don't know. But it was because the shepherds were in the field, and they were in the field, and it should be warmer if they were in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It wasn't like... And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I mean, the angel told them exactly what you're going to find. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Saints, this is what we're going to be going into someday when we die in this world and we leave this body. We're going into that heavenly realm with a multitude and multitude of angels. I mean, we really do not comprehend what we're going to experience. We need to keep faithful to God because it's going to be wonderful. And it says here, suddenly there was a multitude with that angel of a heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I have a little shepherd at home. I've had it for years. The little cane broke, but Jerry's going to fix it someday for me. Or I'm going to fix it. He does a lot of fixing. But I still can push on it, and it says this. I got it from Hallmark years ago. It says this, and I love to hear this. It speaks this out, this little ornament. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Something like this. It says, maybe it says that last part. And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. It's just so cute. But it says that, some of that verse there. So I just thank the Lord. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The whole story. What happened to her? The angels. Now the shepherds, the wise men. She's pondering all this in her heart and thinking, what is this child going to be like? The special Savior. It's just, and it says, when 8 days, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man at Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And it says, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. I think, wouldn't that be 84? No. Yeah. Which departed not from the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. So it goes on and it talks more about here. And it says here in the 52nd verse, now, it talks about when Jesus went to the temple. I told that about. But in the 49th verse, when they went trying to find him, she said, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said, how is it that ye sought me? Was he not that I must be about my father's business? But he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mothers kept all these things, sayings in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. She kept all these things in her heart. And I want to read the last scripture, and there's a lot more, I imagine, but we could read. Anyway, just want to encourage you this Christmas to think about these things, how wonderful Jesus came for us, and I love him so much. And tell him verbally in prayer, Lord, I'm so glad. This might not be the exact day you were born, but we worship you, and we thank you for being born, that we could be saved from our sins. We worship you, Lord. And the saints worship you, and we love you, and just thank you for being born. God, thank you for sending your son to take away our sins. And I hope that maybe we got a little more insight about Mary and what she went through and her pondering all these things. And Joseph, too, pondering this child, this special child. And anyway, it says here in St. John 19:26, Mary was with Jesus. I hadn't studied if Joseph had passed away or not. I should find that out. But anyway, I know that, I think that probably he has. The reason why is because he told John, the beloved disciple, to take care of his mother. So I'm wondering if Joseph could have been older and passed away. That's what I'm kind of thinking. St. John 19:26, at the cross, she followed her dear son all the way. She saw him be murdered. But you know what? He was killed for us, that we could be saved. And you know, you got to think about how she really felt, that this was still her son. Even though he was born, if you had a special child, you know, and all these things happened to you, you would still love that child just like your own fleshly child. You know what I'm trying to say? But yet he still was so much more. He was the Savior. But she was at the cross. It says in the 21st verse of 19, there was stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, this was John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. This just touches me. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Wonderful story. And Jesus cared about his mother. And I guess you might say in a fleshly way too. He loved his mother. And they had a good relationship because Mary was there all the way, even to the cross. She was probably a pretty old woman by then. You know, an older woman by then. But he saw his mother and he had time for her, although he was dying and suffering. Behold thy son. He said, Woman, behold thy son. And he said to John, Behold thy mother. He didn't have to explain all the thing, but what he meant was, John, you take care of my mother. And she, from that very hour, John took her home and took care of her. Anyway, it's just, this is a wonderful story. I love the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. Pray for me.